Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to remind you that if you get the rains update from Kenya, they request that you would give special prayer for a special couple in their church and encourage you to be praying for them and some urgent needs there. And our missionaries need us to make sure we back them up when they need prayer. So don't want to mention the name on the public address, but I want to encourage you to get a copy of their update and be praying for them and the ministry there. Ephesians chapter 6, we are talking about the armor of the believer. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ah, yes, that is so true. There is a wrestling match. There's a spiritual war going on. And, you know, when someone gets newly saved or newly professes Christ, you can tell them that they're now in the middle of a spiritual warfare, but usually they don't believe it. They don't believe it. And if they did believe it, they don't quite get it. They don't understand the greatness of the battle. And of course, the longer you are in a church, the more you just realize that this is just a real thing. And there's definitely a spiritual battle going on at all times. And we're reminded of that. Of course, there's a spiritual battle going on for our own souls. But there's a battle that we are in as a church. And we've been looking at this different pieces of armor. And we get to verse 18. And this is a great reminder. And it tells us that this is something that is be taking place with every piece of armor. It's all a part of every one of them. And so it summarizes what needs to be done while we're putting on every piece of armor. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Well, there's a lot of alls there. Always. All prayer. All perseverance. All saints. A lot of alls that included in this armor. Now, we're reminded that the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, they learned this the hard way, Matthew chapter 25. Of course, previously, Peter said, you know, I'll never deny you. I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll die for you. But, wow. Didn't happen that way. Actually, Matthew 26. In the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Wow. That was preceded by the fact he came to the disciples and found them asleep. And he said unto Peter, verse 41, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And of course, verse 44, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto. The Bible says, watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. The word watch is certainly has the idea of being on guard, being on the lookout, and it's not just being, you know, nonchalant about the battle that we are in. The enemy is there. And if we really knew the enemy was out there, we'd really be looking, wouldn't we? You know, we'd be really looking for his approach. We'd be looking for any clues. We'd look for any movement that might be out there. And, you think about the number of times in the Bible that we have prayer associated with spiritual battles. In Daniel chapter 10, we have a very amazing thing revealed, that Daniel was fasting and praying, and he recognized that there was something ahead for Israel, and he began to pray that the Lord would show him these things. And the Bible says, verse 10, and lo, behold, a hand touched me, which set me up in my hands and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Now, we don't understand everything that's going on here, but Daniel is asking God to give an understanding of the future of Israel and the people of God. And there's a spiritual battle going on. There's a battle between this angel that was sent from God to answer his prayer, and it appears that he was sent right away, but he was hindered in deliverance of the answer of that prayer by the prince of the king of Persia. And this prince was a demonic, satanic force. And behind the kingdom of Persia, and of course Daniel was in the capital of Persia, and this demon of whatever sort didn't want the answer to be delivered to him from God, and he had the power to stand against the prayer to be answered. Isn't that amazing? Did you ever know that? There's a spiritual battle going on in the skies. And the Bible says this angel consulted and asked for Michael the archangel to come and help him. And their forces together allowed the angel to deliver the message to Daniel, this prophecy. Wow. Well, you had prayer. And you had spiritual forces at war behind that prayer. Wow. Spiritual forces going on behind that prayer. And it kind of puts a focus here that the Apostle Paul says, watching thereunto with all perseverance. With all perseverance. That there was perseverance needed in this spiritual battle. Perseverance in prayer. And we aren't calculating. How often do we calculate? There's a battle going on in heaven about this prayer. How much would the devil want us to think? Oh, God doesn't want to answer that prayer. And but yet, really, there's a spiritual battle behind that prayer. And I'm not saying that I understand it, but I know it's written right here. And it tells us that something that we don't understand. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. And these are real realities. Now, if you go to Mark chapter 9... And here's this young man possessed with a demon. His father brings him to Jesus. Well, actually brings him to the disciples. Jesus, Peter, James, and John are up in the Mount of Transfiguration. They come down. And this man basically says to Jesus, can you help me? Your disciples can help me. And I have a son who's grievously tormented at times by a devil. We tried to chain him. He breaks the chains. And et cetera. And the Lord says to him, verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father child cried out with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people coming running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one as dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. There's a spiritual battle here. There's spiritual realities. And they're centered in prayer. Prayer. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we have praying always. Praying always. Pray without ceasing. Pray always. Prayer is breathing for the believer. Amen? Prayer is believing. And in this spiritual battle, praying always. Well, you know, if you were the devil, who would you want dead? The early Christian church. Who would you want dead? Who would you want out of the way? Who was the spokesman on Pentecost? Who went up into the temple and said, silver and gold I have none, but what I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. Who was before the Sanhedrin and said, we ought to obey God more than man? Who was it? Peter. Peter. He was the spokesman. He was the leader. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 12, it says here, now at about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further. Oh, let's take the next guy up. Let's take one even better, to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers, 16 guards, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the temple. And I don't think these were like the guards that were guarding Weinstein. I don't think they got paid off. It says, they didn't go to sleep. It was for their life. But Peter therefore was kept in prison. It wasn't Weinstein. You know who I'm talking about. Epstein. But prayer was made without ceasing. Prayer was made without ceasing. What's it saying? Praying always. With all prayer and supplication, watching unto with all perseverance. Prayer was wont to be made without ceasing of the church of God for him. You know, there's an important time for churches to recognize that there's spiritual battles going on. You know, if you've noticed it, I've noticed thinking about it today, thinking about the university ministry. We've seen some marvelous professions of faith, but wow, wow. You know, they got silenced. It's a real spiritual battle. It's real. Whatever it might be. Because we've seen some marvelous professions of people that could make a huge impact for Jesus Christ. But the devil is alive, isn't he? The devil's alive. It's real. And they're very, very vulnerable individuals. Et cetera, et cetera. Spiritual battle. I'm saying that for one reason. I'm saying that, do you know what? That ministry needs a lot of prayer. I think the church, we used to pray a lot more for that ministry. And I think right now that most of the prayer is centered on the people who work there. But that's not enough. And I know we don't even pray enough. But there's a real spiritual battle here. And the church needs to realize it's a spiritual battle. And that the church as a whole needs to get serious about this. And just think about our missionaries, the spiritual battle that they are in, and how much they need our prayers. Just think of them out there. We know they're not alone, but they're alone. They need our prayers. And the prayer is such a key in this spiritual battle. And so the Bible says, praying always. Praying always. Praying always. Oftentimes we get so busy in life, we don't even pray for the things that we need to pray for. Nonetheless, watch and pray. You know what I'm saying? Watch and pray. Pray about in a way that we recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. It's for our souls. It's for the work of God. It's for our souls. It's for other souls. Praying always. We don't pray enough. And we're not praying enough when we speak of spiritual warfare. We aren't praying as we put on the armor. Sometimes people don't, we don't even think about putting on the armor. Praying always with all prayer. You know, you think about all prayer. Well, there's some of them mentioned here. There's the persevering prayer. There's the prayer of faith. There's the prayer of intercession. There's the prayer of asking. There's the prayer of knocking for opportunities. There's the prayer for the power of the Spirit of God. All prayer. There's the prayer of thanks. There's the prayer of adoration. There's the prayer of submission. There's the prayer of daily provision. There's the prayer of lead us not into temptation. There's the prayer of surrender. All prayer is a part of this spiritual armor of the believer. All prayer and supplication, you know, requests, needs, specific needs, that it's in the Spirit, directed by the Spirit. Praying always, okay? All prayer. All different kinds of prayer. Every kind of prayer there is. And it says watching. Watching. We have our guard up. We're looking. We're looking for the enemy. We're seeking to be aware that we're in a spiritual battle. And prayer is just like a watchman looking out, you know, on his binoculars for the enemy. Prayer is the key thing. You know, think of Peter, how quickly he forgot the spiritual battle because he wasn't praying, right? As the Lord was delivered into the hands of the guard of the high priest, etc. It wasn't many hours before that. He said, I'll never deny thee. But he didn't watch, did he? And then it says, with all perseverance. You know, I think if you think about perseverance, one thing that perseverance just has within it in the word itself means it's not easy. To persevere, you know, it's not, it's going to get hard. It's going to get tiring. It's going to get old. Just the time that we need to pray and persevere, that's just the time that sometimes we stop praying, isn't it? You ever think about that? just the time that we should be persevering, because the enemy's right there. That's when we stop. And, you know, the watchman, he can watch 24 hours. But if the enemy comes at the 25th hour, all those 24 hours didn't do any good in one sense of the word. All perseverance. And then it says, and supplication for all saints. Now, this is a good reminder that, you know, we really have an important role to pray for one another. We have an important role to pray for one another. And, you know, sometimes people, they don't really, they haven't, now sometimes we don't get this, but you know, sometimes we can tell God what he already knows. Sometimes we need to, you know, be praying for somebody else, supplicate for them. Come to God on behalf of somebody else. That's what it's talking about. You know, some people, they are not strong enough to pray for themselves. Supplicate for all saints. You know, I've told this story before, but the importance of prayer. You know, when Quantico Baptist Church started, we had some real miracles in those beginning days. The majority of the people who got saved were druggies, alcoholics. I mean, you name it. They were a mess. And there's some huge changes in their lives. But you know, there's a lot of people praying. There's a lot of people praying. And there's people that I knew that were prayer warriors, and they were praying. And their conversion and their change and their growth was a result of praying. People praying for them. And I was a young pastor, and I didn't understand all that was going on. And I remember sometimes some of these young believers saying, man, you know, we only been saved 6 months. You know, how come those people over there have been saved 20 years? How come they don't get it yet? You know, how come they're still doing this? How come they're still doing that? You know, and they had great victories, but they didn't know that the victories they had was because people were praying for them. And I remember after 5 years, we were already in our building, and we were in the first phase of our building, and we were purchasing the land, we were in our building, and you know, I thought, well, you know, they need to send out another missionary to start a church. And I wrote all these churches, these people. I said, you know, you need to, we're old enough. We're old enough to stand on our own 2 feet. Don't send your support anymore. And take on another missionary. Wow. I didn't know what I was saying. Because, you know, when a person first gets saved, they don't hardly know enough to pray for themselves. You know that? They don't know enough to even pray for themselves. And they need a lot of people praying for them. And they're held up by other people that pray for them. Well, that was true, McQuantico Baptist Church. And when that stopped, oh man, there were some huge spiritual problems. There were some huge spiritual sins, real sins. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And you know, I realized, you know what happened? All these people were lifted up by other people's prayers. And they thought it was them. And when people stopped praying for them, these, you know, major Christians, They now are on their own. They never realized how weak they were. And did they fall? A lot of them, did they fall? Oh, wow. And you know, there's growth in prayer in a believer's life. First of all, a believer has to learn how to pray for himself. They have to learn how to pray. They have to learn how learn how to pray in their own life and get victory through prayer. But you know, as they grow, they got to start learning how to pray for other people, not just themselves. They're going to have to learn how to pray for other people. And you know, as they grow, then they're going to have to pray for even more other people, like missionaries and people far off on the other side of the world that they don't even know about or never seen before. That's a whole nother thing, right? Spiritual growth in prayer. And, well, it's real. Prayer is a key to the advancement of any believer. Prayer is the key to the advancement of a church. Prayer is the key to the advancement of our missionaries. Prayer is the key for them to have success on the field. There's a spiritual battle. It's real. It's so real. But it's invisible. And that's why we fail so often. I do. We fail so often in prayer. Because it's an invisible battle. But it requires praying always. It requires all prayer. It requires all perseverance. And it prays. Requires prayer for all saints. Now, there's something else that's added to it. Maybe it isn't really a part of the armor of the believer, but it connected to it. And I think that it might be connected to it. Verse 19. And for me. And for me. Is there anything to that? Is there anything to the victory of God's people in the spiritual battle? Is there any connection between the victory, winning the people of God, winning the victory, and praying for their leader? Is there anywhere in the Bible that tells us there's a connection? Exodus chapter 17. And verse 8. Then came Amalek, fought with Israel, and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. You know, we realize it isn't 100% parallel, but I think there is a parallel. You know, the Apostle Paul says, and for me. I don't mention this often, so I think maybe I should. But many times we have prayer meeting, and we pray for our missionaries, and we pray for the Holy Spirit to be here. But you know, how many times do you pray for your pastor? How often do you pray for your pastor? Why would you need to pray for your pastor? You ever thought about that? You know, not that he's something, you know, big shot, but why would you need to pray for your pastor? Well, I think the issue is this, and I hope we take it in the right sense. If you were the devil, who would you want to knock out? If you believed in spiritual warfare and you believed in the devil opposing the work of God, who do you think the devil would want to knock out? Well, I know he wants to knock out every one of you. That's for sure. He would certainly want to knock out a Sunday school teacher. He'd certainly want to knock out a new believer, right? Boy, we see that. He certainly wants to knock out young people because that's the future. Right? Boy, you know, he wants to knock out dads. There's the future of the family. He wants to knock out men. You know, he wants to knock out ladies who stand for righteousness and holiness and godliness. But I think the devil definitely want to knock out the preacher, don't you think so? You know, we're just saying, hey, this is about spiritual warfare, right? This is about spiritual warfare. And getting us focused on, well, wait a minute. Now, think about it. You know, President Trump was talking about somebody who said they prayed for him. And he said, well, I don't really think they pray for me. They probably pray against me. You know? Well, you know, if a person got something in craw in their something in their craw, they probably aren't praying for the pastor. You know what I'm saying? They're probably not praying for the pastor. They might be praying against him. Boy, that makes it even tougher, right? And so think about what it's saying. Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, with all perseverance. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and for all saints and for me. And for me. Just a common sense principle in the Word of God, because your pastor's just a man. And Satan has his plans. But the real thing is we want victory. Amen? We want the devil to be defeated. And two important areas for us to really get serious about. Praying in the spiritual battle. Praying for your pastor. Kind of important. Praying for your pastor. Your spiritual leader. Because we're really our one body in Christ. Amen. Prayer makes a difference. James Frazier went in the middle of satanic we held territory of darkness. Southwest China, the Lisu mountains of the Lisu people. He was the top of the class in Britain. He was considered the top of the spiritual young people. He was considered the most sure to succeed. He got to the mission field, never knowing that he was in the middle of spiritual darkness, the stronghold of the devil. And this great, great believer, leader, preacher, young man found out he was no match for the devil. He found out how weak he was. He found out how strong the devil was. And it could have been over. Could have been over. Multitude of times as he was on those mountain cliffs, the devil said, just jump. You're a failure. Nobody you know. You're a nobody. You haven't done anything. Every profession you had has turned against Christ. Jump. And he seriously considered it. Great state of depression, discouraged. He realized that he was weak. He wrote home to his mom. He says, Mom, get a band of prayer warriors. Get a band of prayer warriors. There is no possibility of success without prayer. We need a band of prayer warriors. I don't know who exactly was in that prayer band. I imagine a bunch of godly ladies were among them. And they prayed. And they prayed. And they prayed. And Satan's hold began to be broken. One of the greatest revivals in history took place in those Lisu Mountains, as communities began to be open to the gospel. And the Lisu people got saved and converted, and they started witnessing, and they started testifying, they started preaching, and they went into the other villages on their own and supported by their own people, and won many other villages, and one by one, scores of villages were open to the gospel. Genuine conversions. There's only one answer. Prayer. Prayer. What would be the difference if we got serious about prayer? If we understood the battle that we are in and understood that prayer is an essential part that goes with all of the armor. Prayer. It's the key. May God use it in our lives. May we meditate on this truth. Wednesday night will be another service, another message from someone. So easy to forget the one we got on Sunday night, right? I mean, to tell the truth, this one is so important it'd probably be worthy to preach about 3-4 weeks in a row every service. But that's not how it works. But I say that because it's probably true. I've never done that before. You know, that'd be pretty hard to preach that message over and over with real fire. You know, Dr. Cederholm, when he was starting a new church, he told, I can't remember who he told, but he was starting a brand new church. He preached on money every service for 6 months. That's how he started the church. He understood the principle. Must have been in Wisconsin. No, it wasn't. I don't know where it was. But this one is worthy of 6 months of preaching. Let's pray. Lord, our minds tell us it's true, and our hearts would want to agree, but Lord, it's the will that tells if we really get it or not. And Lord, we realize that we are in such a spiritual battle that many times we feel weak even to put the armor on. And Lord, I pray that in your mercy, that you would take this truth that I know I need and we need, that it would really be turned into a change of our lives. Lord, might there be a start even tonight. And so we commit these truths, Lord, to your Holy Spirit to drive them home. And Lord, there might be some that are just at that point tonight that they're ready to go with this truth. They understand the spiritual battle. They're out there winning souls. They're out there witnessing. But what's missing, Lord, is the catch. What's missing is the conversion. What's missing is the changed life. You know, just like the New Testament, Lord, we need your power. We need the devil to be defeated. The Lord Jesus deserves more, Lord, in this community. And his name should be lifted up on high because the truth is glorious. And so, Lord, pray that you'd work in our lives. Might there be this armor put on. Help us to take the step that we, whatever place we are at, Lord, to make movement in that area. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe right between you and the Lord. You've seen some spiritual battles lost in and around you. And the Lord has given you the answer tonight. And giving us the answer, perhaps you need to have just a moment with the Lord. I'll give you that time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Song of